We are joined now in the studio by Mark Dorison, who is managing attorney with the UNC Center for Civil Rights and the chair of the Orange County Board of Commissioners. Thanks for joining us today on this very busy week.
I'm always delighted to be with you, Aaron. I'm just love watching you do what you do. You're so smooth.
Oh, thank you. You can't see this, but I'm like shuffling through like 14 different stacks of papers right now looking for one thing, and I couldn't find it for
Don't
like 20
Don't give away
seconds.
The secrets,
All right,
my friends.
No, I'm perfect. Come I'm perfect. On, Everything
right.
is great. So county commissioners met last night, talked about impact fees, right? Made a decision to go back to the way the impact fee ordinance was back in June of last year, right?
That's right. As you might recall, there's been a couple of bills introduced in the legislature. One that would strip Orange, one specifically targeting Orange County that would strip all the authority, the previously granted legislative authority to levy impact fees. Another bill that would look at impact fees across the state. And that bill, the statewide bill, has been amended to be a study bill to roll all existing impact fees in the state back to their levels as of June 30, 2016. Freeze everything for a year while this study commission goes forward. Mm-hmm. And so based on recommendations from the county attorney, the likelihood of that bill going forward, and we decided to revise the impact fee bill that we adopted, the impact fee ordinance we adopted in November to replicate what's in that bill. That is to roll back the fees to the June 30th, 2016, and to conduct our own study for a year and figure out what is the most appropriate level.
So is that more in anticipation of what the state's going to do, or in hopes that this might mean the state won't do what they're thinking about doing?
I think it's a little bit of both. Okay. I think it's certainly in anticipation of what we think will happen, but it's also, you know, as conceivably a show of good faith, maybe to that the one that specifically seems to be retribution against Orange County for the bill we passed will go by the wayside, and this statewide study bill will go forward. So,
speaking with Mark Dorison, that was yesterday's meeting of county commissioners. What else was discussed?
The other big item on the agenda was revisiting our fund balance policy. So the county has had a policy that sets our fund balance reserve, unassigned fund balance reserve, at 17% of all expenditures. And what we, so that's like a savings account essentially. Mm-hmm. And we began discussions. I brought forward last year discussions about the, my belief that that was too conservative, and that, that we ought to be looking at revisiting that policy and lowering it and using some of those funds for, you know, one-time expenses that we have and that we need. And so the board has discussed it a couple of times since I first brought it up. And then last night, following a real good discussion and feedback from our financial advisors and others, the board voted to lower it to 16%. So what's great about that is it will free up about $2 million that was not in the county manager's recommended budget. And the manager is already looking at some, you know, some capital, one-time capital expenditures that, but for this money, would be further delayed. So some of that will go to deferred maintenance on the schools, and some of it will go to deferred maintenance on county facilities. And, you know, that kind of deferred maintenance is really what got us into the situation where, you know, we needed the bond, so.
Yeah, and the bond is just kind of the tip of the iceberg in terms of what the schools need, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of deferred maintenance, and so this is a good way of freeing up some money in an otherwise tight budget year to start tackling that backlog.
Mm-hmm. Speaking with Mark Dorison, we're talking about last night's meeting of the Board of County Commissioners, but there's another meeting tomorrow night, and this is a hearing on the county manager's budget. So this is public hearing number two. Public hearing number one was last week, right? What feedback did we get?
There wasn't a lot of feedback at at the public hearing last Thursday, but we did hear from folks who, you know, have interest in making sure that we're spending enough money for seniors and for the needs that they have. There was some comments about making sure there's funds, various funds related to some of the needs of the rural community, rural parts of the community, seniors in particular, but issues like transportation, access to services, that type of thing. So And then there was also some, we heard a few comments of folks saying to, asking us to really fully fund the school's requested budget.
OrangeCountyNC.gov, if you want to take a look at the proposed budget that's available right now. Public hearing is 7 o'clock tomorrow, Southern Human Services Center on Homesteader Road. Show up anytime after 6 and you can sign up to get on the agenda. Other ways of giving feedback if you can't make the meeting?
Folks can always email the county commissioners. We have, there's an email address that goes to all the commissioners and the manager and the clerk. It's all BOCC and manager at orangecountync.gov. Folks can call. Folks can send old-fashioned letters via the United States Postal Service. and of course, even if you can't come to one of the formal public hearings on the budget, every meeting of the commissioners begins with an open public comment session where folks can comment about anything they want, including the budget, and are welcome to do so.
OrangeCountyNC.gov for more information on that. So that's county commissioners news. Let's talk about the Civil Rights Center, which has the, well, the public hearing for that was last week. The Board of Governors is meeting tomorrow and Friday, again in Chapel Hill at the Center for School Leadership Development. The vote on this won't be until July. So what's the state of affairs heading into this meeting this week?
The proposal that would shut down the Center for Civil Rights, the proposal that would ban advocacy, is sitting in the Education Policy Committee, which meets tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And there is an item on the agenda for an interim report on that proposal. I presume that the few folks on the Ed Policy Committee that were at the public hearing last week will give a report to the rest of the committee about what they heard. It was an incredible public hearing. If folks weren't able to come, it is there. The whole thing, a video of the whole two-hour hearing is available online on the Board of Governors website. But it was incredibly powerful. There were staff and faculty from UNC, from NC Central, the deans of both law schools spoke. A number of our clients came and spoke. So there were folks from Halifax and Smithfield and other places around the state, and number of students who have worked with the center or been in the clinical program spoke, and it was very, very powerful. I mean, no one came and spoke in support of the proposal.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was a lot of people speaking, and all of them in favor of the center and against the proposal.
That's right, and that's sort of been the real bright spot in this otherwise very dark time. And also online at that same website that the Board of Governors has set up are all the emails and public comments they received. And again, those are overwhelmingly in support of the center. So it would be great for folks to come out tomorrow at 1 o'clock to be present and bear witness at the hearing. At the board meeting. They're not scheduled to vote until July, but they, you know, anything could happen at any time. Mm-hmm. And so we're hoping to maintain this momentum, asking folks to continue to email the board, tell them how you feel, and hopefully they'll vote this down in July. But
is there any indication that you're getting one way or the other as to what you think they're going to do?
They've been very, stone-faced about it. I mean, everybody who sends them an email or a comment gets a sort of
Thank you for your response.
We're carefully reviewing this, a response, just sort of acknowledging their receipt. I think that there may have been, I hope that there were a few people that were open-minded enough to really consider what they heard on Thursday. I also know that there are some folks who have their minds made up and are really looking to try to find a way to stop the work of the Center for Civil Rights.
So tell me if I'm wrong about this, because I'm kind of piecing this together from a couple different people, but there were three members of the Board of Governors who were definitely kind of required to be at that public hearing last week, but eight were there? Is that correct? Something like that?
Well, no, there were three that are a subcommittee of this education committee. And then there was one other voting member there and then two non-voting members. So,
okay.
There's a Hannah Gage is an emeritus member of the board, and then the student government representative who is new was also there, but she is also a non-voting member. So four of the nine members of the committee were there, and two other Board of Governors members but who are not voting members.
Okay, I was wondering if there were additional Board of Governors members who showed up, and if that you thought that might have any sort of impact at all.
My great regret is that the entire Board of Governors wasn't there to hear and to see really what happened in that room. I mean, the video shows all the people who spoke, but there were hundreds of other people there in the audience. There were overflow rooms where they had a video simulcast because they couldn't even accommodate all the people that came. So it was really an incredibly powerful outpouring of support.
Mm-hmm. Speaking with Mark Dorison, and we're talking about the UNC Center for Civil Rights. Mark's the managing attorney there. This is, if you're just joining us and if you haven't been following this already, there's a proposal on the table for the UNC Board of Governors to effectively shut down the center by banning it from engaging in active litigation. And a lot of people have been speaking out against this proposal for a variety of reasons, one of which, and we're seeing this this week on a number of different levels, is that the importance of teaching people about civil rights, not just the importance of it, but actually getting them involved in litigation, is so important for people going through law schools, because civil rights fights are ongoing in a variety of different ways right now. We've got the voter ID bill that the Supreme Court decided not to take, but General Assembly is almost certainly going to come back either this year or next and pass something else, which is going to be challenged on civil rights grounds. What were your thoughts about the Supreme Court's non-decision yesterday?
Well, you know, it was a great victory for the people, and we should celebrate that, and should not let the importance of that determination be overshadowed by threats of a new voter suppression bill or voter ID legislation coming. I mean, what's important to remember is the court's decision not to take the case up means the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, the one level below the Supreme Court, their decision stands. And they said very clearly that what the General Assembly did in creating this bill was intentional discrimination that was targeted to disenfranchise African-American voters. And that's powerful. So the fact that the Supreme Court didn't formally take a position on it means that's the law of the case. And that's the law of the Fourth Circuit, which includes North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Maryland, and West Virginia. And I mean, that is a tremendously important victory. And also, even with the enfeebled Voting Rights Act left after the Supreme Court's decision in 2013, there is still a provision that says when a jurisdiction has been found liable for intentional discrimination, that jurisdiction can be put back under the requirement that they have to get preclearance from the Justice Department. So,
which the Fourth Circuit did not actually do in their decision last year, which is
that's right.
A little bit surprising considering how dramatic is the word that I keep coming up with in my head, but it was a very strong statement against the voter ID bill.
Absolutely. And, you know, they didn't take that final step, but I think that the fact that they went as far as they did puts real pressure on the General Assembly for what they do next. They're not, whatever they come up with, they're not writing on a blank slate anymore.
Yep.
They're writing against the context of that finding.
Yep. And they're going to come back with something, but it's going to be very, very similar, I have to assume, to what passed and got struck down now on multiple levels, and not just, oh, you know, we're kind of up in the air on this, but we'll strike it down as sort of a benefit of the doubt kind of thing. But this was struck down by judges who aren't ordinarily given to making really strong statements like this, who in this case really, really did. So to think that the General Assembly is going to come back with a similar bill, at least up to the Fourth Circuit, you got to expect to get pretty similar results when it gets challenged, which you know it will.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, but I also don't, I don't have high expectations. I mean, if you look at the redistricting cases, when those districts got struck down, the legislature went back and said, okay, we'll draw them again, and came up with basically the exact same districts.
Which then got struck down again.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, I think what we've seen from a legal perspective is that the ideologues in the General Assembly are not cowed by the prospect of losing in court.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of, the Supreme Court made that decision that they weren't going to take the voter ID case. They haven't yet decided, right, whether or not to take the case involving redistricting. And that's just still kind of sitting there and hasn't been picked up at all.
That's right. And you remember that one of those cases ordered new elections this year in 2017.
Yeah.
And so I think unfortunately, the every day that goes by that they don't do it, even if they were to take it up, or even if they were to say no, actually, mm-hmm. If it happens much later than right, you know, in the next week,
yeah.
I think it's going to be unlikely that there'll be a 2017
election. And that original,
election.
That was the, was that the Fourth Circuit that ruled there that ordered the, or it was a...
It was a three-judge panel,
three-judge panel of the district court. But they ruled that the state had to redraw the district lines in March, wasn't it?
That's right. They were supposed to resubmit new districts in March, and they were supposed to have new elections in November.
I'm really shocked that the Supreme Court hasn't said anything. Like, I'm really surprised that with that ruling sitting there, and it's May, and they haven't made a decision yet.
Certainly, some of us were suspecting they were waiting for the Scalia seat to be filled.
Yeah.
Now that it has been, that delay is certainly problematic.
Yeah. Well, again, the hearing from the, or the meeting of the Board of Governors is tomorrow, 1 p.m. at the Center for School Leadership Development in Chapel Hill. Everyone's invited out to that to watch, and then the actual decision likely in July. Before we let you go, Mark, thoughts about the Raise the Age bill passing the House with the vote that it did earlier today?
Very exciting.
Yeah.
You know, the Senate has always been kind of the question mark, but I think that there is really the right combination of you know, otherwise divergent groups of supporters behind this. I think the fact that New York jumped out has made a difference, and so I'm very hopeful. I think that the coalition that's been put together behind the bill is very strong.
OrangeCountyNC.gov. If you want more information about county government, county commissioners, you can also check out Bonnie Hammersley's proposed budget there. And again, that public hearing on the budget is tomorrow, 7 p.m. at the Southern Human Services Center on Homestead Road. Mark Dorison, thank you so much.
Great to see you, Aaron.